Praise God. Hallelujah. What a good day at Thanksgiving. That was our first meal at Thanksgiving dinner, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't it? The first one for the week. How many Thanksgivings are you going to have this week? Huh? Five of them. We'll all go over to Bill Moshe's house. Are you going to have Thanksgiving? What night? Do you want to invite? Tuesday night? Let's think about it. Just praise God for our Thanksgiving celebration today in the church. It was great. We had a beautiful, beautiful time. And great, the Lord spoke to our hearts, and then we went down the sidewalk, and Danny Berinsky and Scott and can we run the microphone over to Scott? Scott, you want to say a word? Go ahead. He has no choice now. Now, because he's doing it, I have a cafe card. Yeah, Scott. Where's the mic? Here you go. So, I mean, it was good, wasn't it? The turkey was so moist. Huh? I hope he could come over to our house and do our turkey. This guy's is dry. No, go ahead. But I cook it. I cook it. My wife cooks it moist.
She heard that.
Okay. I'm in trouble. Security, I'm out of here. Okay, go ahead.
We mentioned before, we had an overwhelming response for service. And, you know, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. Before we started serving, we just mentioned that the Thanksgiving potluck is about fellowship. The food comes second, and it's the body. And I think I confidently could say that's the biggest event, one-time event that we pull off. It's 700 to 800 people, so.
Yeah,
it's great. Thank you to the service. I've got a core of people that helped me, and I could list their names, but I might miss one, so if I miss you, sorry. Harold, you're priceless.
Want to stand up?
Yeah. He's like, no. Bobby Berinsky, Dwayne George, Chris Regan, Adrian Witt, so I may have missed a few. My wife, she did the coffee. Coffee was good.
Coffee's good.
So thank you again. We can't do it without you. And it is the it's a miracle of the food. A little bit comes in and we're like, are we going to make it? But it works. Before we started, I said, all right, look down the line. You see that little bowl of cranberry sauce? Each one of those bowls have to serve 150 people. So, thank you again. God bless.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Wow. Amazing. Let's see. And in the morning, we had people come forward, you know, at the 9 o'clock service. And it's amazing how some people in tears come up for prayer, you know, at the end. And just one case where there was a suicide and this person was brokenhearted. And tears. And, you know, like I said in the morning service, if you have a heavy heart and you come to this church and you hear a message to encourage you and instruct you, but you need a little more, you need a touch, you need somebody to pray for you, then come forward. And I'm just caring that the Holy Spirit will use us. Not just, you know, me as the pastor, that's my role. But my role is to equip you so that you would be able to minister to others. And you do. I mean, obviously, this is like decades of living together in Christ and seeing God's work. And I just want the services to be done in such a way that you and I get to minister to people. And sometimes, you know, we can go through service, and it can be everybody. I feel people are very respectful. I met somebody on the street today in the afternoon. They said, I was at the morning service, and when you said that God gave you your wife, he said, it was like the veil went off my eyes, and I felt the same way about my wife. And he said, I just started to weep in my chair, you know. So the point is, God is working. God is moving. God uses us in different ways. And you are the body, and you do realize that you have a ministry. You know, the gift of knowledge, how many of you know what the gift of knowledge is? Just kind of ask your neighbor for a second. Get a one or two sentence answer to that. What is the gift of knowledge? I have no idea. I don't have it. Okay, what is the gift of knowledge? Okay. How's it going? Okay. I want to suggest something to you. That if you have a hunger to learn something, like from God, you have just the hunger to learn something from God, I think that is a gift. Like, there are people, a lot of people, they don't care, they don't want to learn. They don't care about it. They just have no interest. Well, are they spirit-filled? Maybe, I don't know about that, but I'm just saying, if you have a spiritual hunger to learn and then package that knowledge, and then when somebody is with you and they have a, you know, there's something that they say, and you're able to say, like you packaged it, and you're able to give them a word, and it so much hits the target. You know that brother that was here who got saved a week ago? He was sitting here. His name is Jensen. Yeah, he was in the 11 o'clock service, and this family, Ricardo and Chris, and they're new here, and they bring in students from Towson University because they go to Towson. Anyway, he said, I am studying athletic medicine, or what's the word? Sports medicine. Yeah, thank you. Sports medicine, and he said, when you drew the picture of the heart with the hole in it, that's me. And I found Christ as the answer. And I'm so hungry. So he come, you know, that's amazing to see that. And you know, if he gets something from God and he's on the campus at Towson, and if he has a gift of knowledge, right? If he has the hunger to learn and he's able to say it or package it, there'll be a time when somebody will be right there in front of him, and he'll be able to minister to them, and it's going to be a home run. God is going to use him. So I'm saying, I'm just talking about the ministry and where we are at and what I believe God wants to do with us as a church and individually as people. Never lose your personal vision for your own life. Don't lose the personal vision for your own life. Now, let me say it this way. And I got a couple cafe cards. I know you're all looking at these. Okay. Let me say it this way. Everybody, all of us, in God's plan, I believe this, there's two people in your life. Okay, two people. And they are the person I receive from, My brother is a little better than me in the Lord. He's over me in the Lord. Or my sister. And women should have a woman. You should have a woman in your life that's a cut a grade above you. A little bit above you. Older, more mature, wise. A little, you know, on the ball. Everybody needs. When I was playing tennis, I always wanted to play with somebody who was really good at it so I wouldn't have to run after the ball so much. They run after they run after the one I hit, right? But I don't have to run after theirs, so they're good. I want to play with somebody better. God is saying, I'll get better. And in the Christian life, that's what I want. I want somebody that's just so that's one person. And you should kind of have an idea of who they are. Because why just have it theoretical, right? They've got a real person who really spends time with me, who actually knows my name. Actually, I can be with them and I can hang out with them. And they'll give to me something that in love, joy, encouragement. They can be goofy. But when it gets down to it, they got something. They can have they're light, free, carefree, happy, satisfied, filled with the Spirit, and they got something. And so I need that person. The second person I need in my life is that person a little that I'm ministering to. This person that's hanging around me to get something from me, because I'm hanging around him to get something from him. And if I hang around him and I get something from him, then I'm able to give it to him, then there'll be somebody on his side, on the left side, that he will be able to minister to. And that's how it works. And we should somehow know their names, right? They somehow have an idea. And if I don't have anybody over here, let's take all of us, and we don't have anybody over here on the left, then our church is dying. It's not being passed on. What I'm passing on is football, or politics, or my gossip. What I'm passing on are my bad habits, or what I'm passing on is my disappointments. Wow, what a good word that is. Actually, I'm preaching my whole message right here. Hey, imagine how I just pass on my disappointment, and I pass on how I don't like the church, or pass on how I'm disappointed with and I'm tired and the whole thing, and I just pass that on. And then what happens? I scatter instead of gather, okay? I scatter instead of gather. And God wants you to be a gatherer. And tighten it up in the Lord, like lead them in the Lord. And I say, no, don't think like that. I want to teach you something. You learn how to not, you're not domineering, you are ministering. You're building hope and encouragement in that person. And you might say, I've had a hard year. I got beat up a lot. I've had my troubles. And right now, I'm just plain wiped out. And we just say, God, we understand, we care, we're with you. We don't know who you are, but we're so happy you're here. God has something for you, and he's going to help you. And he heals. And you got a future. And God needs you in this world. The problem in this kind of a ministry and the way it is that we kind of put a lot on what is happening in the pulpit, but actually, and it is amazing, it is God's work and God's gift, but the whole point of that transfer is to us so that I would be able to minister to others in small groups, on the phone, at my working place. I'm able to gather and encourage and learn how to speak and how to share, how to discern, how to love and minister. And I'm thankful for it all. So do you have a testimony you want to just kind of pop up and say, I'm thankful to God, and just say one or two sentences? I'm thankful to God. And if you do it, if it helps at all, if you'll do it, you get one of these cafe cards. Okay, so go ahead. Anyone, seriously? Okay, we need the microphone. You got to hustle it there, Pastor. Good job. Run. Run like the wind.
I'm so thankful for a guy that we had been ministering to for 3 years now here in Baltimore. Actually, Jerry Vaudrey has been investing in his life, and he came to our church for the first time this morning, and he was there at the Thanksgiving dinner, and he just like found that he has this big family, and he's just so happy, and we're so happy with him.
Great. Thank you. Justin, you want to say something about Federal Hill? Guys, a lot of us, we don't know. Just share a little bit.
Yeah, so thanks for this, because then I can make an announcement. See how this works. I like it. We're on the same page. So we're going to do...
Yeah, could you stand up?
Yeah, sure. So we're going to do a... How does my hair look? Okay, good? Okay. So we're going to do a Christmas concert. What's the date? December 15th. If it's a Friday, December 15th, we're going to do a Christmas concert in the Catholic Church like we did last year. Now, this church seats about 500 people. So if we had our normal 35 people on a Sunday morning for the concert, it just wouldn't look too good. So we want to just invite everybody to come from Greater Grace here for the concert on December 15th at the Catholic Church. And then the next night, we're actually going to be in our building, which is amazing. So it's been a little over 2 years, maybe even 2.5 years that we've been working on the building. And Scotty Dubé, Pastor Mike Williams, Bobby Barinski, Pastor Tapio, whoever's been in there, they've just done a phenomenal job. And we've just been doing volunteer days. We were in there last night and Friday night. And it's amazing. We're going to have our own building. And I'll just say, this morning we had service, and I think you're just nailing it, and we're learning this as we're starting to minister there in Fed Hill. A lot of what we do is just discipleship. And, you know, you can open the doors and say, hey, we're having a Sunday morning service. But I read in Pastor Mati's book last night, if you haven't gotten it, it's just an amazing book that he wrote. It's just his own personal testimony. And he said in it, if God said 2,000 years ago that I am going to come back quickly, I wonder what it looks like when he actually moves slowly. And he said that also with church planning, and he said that with personal discipleship. And it's just, it is a long road, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And God's working patience in us so that we can have patience with other people. And we don't force anybody to do anything by law or religion, but it's simply by grace. And we're drawing them into a life. But that takes time. And I think if we have a long outlook on what we're doing in Federal Hill, which we do, we stay very encouraged because we sense that the Spirit's with us in what we're doing, and we're just really excited about the future because God is doing amazing things there with us, which is just so much fun. So, yeah, so December 15th, come.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. You guys are doing a great job, young people and older people too down at Federal Hill. That's awesome. I feel in the Lord, you know, this is God's work down at Federal Hill, and he's doing it, and he's using you, and it's happening, and it's like the vision is fantastic. And you, how about the young people that go down there, Federal Hill, on Sunday morning? Do you sense that in the spirit? Just raise your hand. There's two hands. That's not good. No, I don't know how many of you go down, but I do feel that way. I think it's right. Do you feel that? Absolutely, yeah. It's exciting. I mean, it's just God's work. Okay. Yeah, Renee, we'll do the last one.
I'm thankful to God for Sonny McDonald. He's been an amazing brother and friend over the years, and he's an amazing servant to the body. And I just want to say thank God for your life, Sonny.
Okay. Would you stand for a moment, please, and just kind of stretch out and praise the Lord and praise God and do a couple jumping jacks and hallelujah and praise God. And that was our very... very own Rob Smith, huh? That was good, huh? Distant relative. Praise God. Ready to roll? Okay, 15 minutes. Good message. Good one. Ready? Do we have my iPad there, Pastor? Thanks. How many love Pastor Shabelli over there? Look at him. Amazing. Amazing. He's a living legend. Living legend. And so many here. And we just love and appreciate. Okay, ready? Praise God. Hallelujah. Huh? Okay. All right, you may be seated. We cannot assume that everything will go well for us all our lives. Actually, it's more inclined to think, oops, I cannot assume my church will always be here. I cannot assume Pastor Shabelli will always be alive. I'm not predicting anything except the obvious, for all of us. I cannot assume my wife will always be healthy. I cannot assume. I'm not thinking she's going to be sick. I'm not believing that, but I cannot assume. I cannot assume that I will be alive tomorrow. I do not know. I hope so. I believe it, but where are the guarantees, right? I cannot assume that all our missionaries that are out on the field are doing well every day. I don't know. I cannot assume a lot of things. But this is something I want you to see with me just from Matthew 22 and verse 37. 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Lord, I'm not sure if I'll always have my health. I do not know about the paycheck or Social Security or my children would always be healthy and good in every way. It is that way for many people, and I anticipate it, and I believe in those things. But I cannot say that there is a, I cannot assume and just say, you know, this is not, this can never happen. It can. So I want you to just see this, verse 37. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the, what kind of commandment? The great one. Great commandment. The great commandment. Love. With all your heart. All your mind, soul. Some years ago, I drew this picture of a man who had 1,000 acres for sale. Maybe some of you remember that. 1,000-acre lot right there for sale. And he would sell 99 acres, but he wanted to keep 1 acre in the middle for himself. So he would say he was selling 999 acres for sale, but 1 acre, that was his. And the reason why is because he wanted to get a foothold, have a foothold. He wanted to have a part of it. He wanted to keep a part of it. So then he could sue for access to it by getting a road that goes in there to his 1 acre. Like his strategy was this. And we said in that message that this is what we have to be careful of in regards to our hearts. I give God my heart, but there's something I'm keeping that's for me. That's my backup. That's my life. I will die, but not really completely. I preserve for myself. It's like that verse in Romans 13 where make no provision for your flesh. Remember that story where a little boy's mom said, you can't go swimming. Don't even think about it. You can't go swimming. And then as he went to school, he put his swimming trunks in his knapsack and said, why, his mother said, why are you doing that? He said, well, you never know. You never know. What was he doing? Making a provision. So our subject is prayer, and I'd like you to look at Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. You shall seek me and find me. Remember this morning we said that when I lose something and I know what I'm looking for, that's one thing. But when I don't know what I'm looking for, that's like maybe a philosopher is looking, but he doesn't know what he's looking for. Or somebody traveling around the country or the world, they're looking for, but they don't know what they're looking for. They're looking for meaning, maybe. But when you have found God, or God has found you, and you have lost him, how could you have lost God? Maybe by this picture. God, I am seeking for you. You know that. I'm seeking for you. You know that I'm seeking for you. I'm saying my prayers to you. I'm going to the Greater Grace Church. I'm reading my Bible. You know that I am seeking for you. But then I don't know. I don't find him. And when you've lost your car keys and you're looking for your car keys, you know when you find them. I got them. I got my car keys, Mom. I found them. You know, in our household, when I ask my wife I'm looking for something, she makes it clear, you know, I didn't take it. I'm not saying you took it. I'm just needing help. Because I think I project that. I lost them, and you are part of the whole process. You know that. You hid them somewhere. Okay. All right. I lost my car keys, and when I find them, it's over. The search is over. And listen, when you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, you know what that is. You know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, that God is loving you and you are loving him back. And this whole thing, the whole thing is awesome. I'm not worried, Lord, Yes, you are filling me with your spirit. I don't have any jealousy. I used to have, but I don't care about it anymore. You are filling me with your spirit. I used to have problems with women or problems with lying or problems in my own soul. I was self-seeking, always looking for people to recognize me. And now I have found your Holy Spirit filling me, and I am drinking from that well. And when I have lost it, I know what I have lost. And when I have found it, I know I found it. That's this verse. Read it with me, verse 13. You shall seek me, and you know what you're looking for. It's me, God. And you will find me, and you will know that you have found me. I got it. I found it. I found the puzzle, the piece of the puzzle that we lost. I got the screw. It fits perfectly. I got the screw. I found it in the grass. I know what I found. I found it. I got it. I have found God. God has found me. God has given me his grace and his love. Thank you, God. I know you. I know your name. I know your nature. I am satisfied and completely. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You know that feeling? And that what that means? Yes, you do. And when you have lost him, I think it's because of this. Like, Lord, I've been going through the motions. I've been doing everything. And the Lord says, I know, I know. But there's that little acre that's a holdout. That toehold becomes, you know, the toehold becomes a foothold, becomes a body hold, you know, becomes presence. I am here. And the Lord is saying, I am not there. Guys, you have to look at verse 13. It says, when you shall search for me with all your heart. It's crazy. Can't do that. All my heart. Isaac is too important to me. I can't give him up. All your heart, Abraham. Give me your son. All your heart. I'm worried about, I'm 70 years old or 80 years old. I'm worried about my health and my future. You're too worried about it. You got a toehold there. It's like, okay, yes, we are concerned. Yes, I understand. I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. But the flesh is incredibly substitutes, it absolutely replaces God with myself. When I'm young, well, how am I going to get a paycheck? How am I going to live? How will I find a wife? How will I find a boyfriend? How will I get from A to B? How do I live my life? Who can answer my question? How do I figure this whole thing out? I don't know. This isn't our message. Our message is you will seek him, you will find him when you search for him with all your heart. That's the best way for a woman to find a husband. And if you don't find one, praise God, hallelujah. He has saved you from, he is using you. You have value. And by the way, much of greater grace work has been done by incredible women who have given all their hearts to Christ and have decided that I am going to let God deal with that. If I have a husband, then I of course will take him. That would be great. It's better maybe to be with somebody, and that's beautiful. But I'm so happy you're not out there running around trying to find one. Like some crazy person who can't figure it out. You just go from one mess of trouble into another one. Get the trouble settled here on the board. On the board. That's get that settled. Give him the whole enchilada. Say to God, God, you can do this and do it your way and do it, and I'm available. but I'm not going to dress seductively to find a man. I'm not going to go out there and go after unbelievers and try to find a man. I'm not going to go on the internet and look high and low and try to find somebody. I mean, if you do that, that's your business. But I don't advise. If you do find a believer, be not unequally yoked. Amen? Okay. What does it say? Verse 13. You shall seek me. And what's the word? Find me. When you shall search for me. I don't know. Do we search? I think you do. You know what it means to search? I get this restlessness. I'm searching. I don't know. No, I don't talk about it. I just know in my heart I'm searching. I'm searching. I want that, and I find it. Yeah, in the body, of course. I find it, and you find it. But you get my message. That's my message tonight. That's the end. Okay? Somehow I just want to preach it all over again, but you already heard it once or twice. I don't know. There it is. I mean, that's it. I found it in my life. By the way, it happens with us as pastors and preachers. Sometimes what you go through in your own life and God helps you in understanding something is what you bring to the pulpit. And what you bring to the pulpit that resonates in your life is something that resonates in the lives of others. And this is one of them. I am preaching from experience. I am not able to master this thing. My heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. I can go through the emotions and do the things, and then the Lord is gone. He's gone. I mean, he's there, and I find him here in the church all the time. But in regards to my life and my heart and the whole thing of called life, nobody has it figured out. And the minute you try to try to keep your life, you preserve it somehow in your heart, it's so easy. And I'm going to say something regarding that to all of us. It is amazing with this little acreage right there, little acre. What's that called? A little green acres or something? That little acre there. When they get a hold of that, they get that acre, and then they argue for another acre. And then they get it, and they're fighting, they're standing strong in their couple, you know, in the center of the field. They gave it to God. They've sold the whole thing to God, but not really. They are presently there. They will not lose their life. They have a toehold. They are not going to lose their life. And the minute they are gone, one of the things they get into the whole thing, and I don't know. I don't want to say but I don't know. They just, the better thing for them would have been told straight up, find God. Find God. Love him with all your heart. That's the first and the great commandment. Love God. Your problem's out there. That's a swamp. Like, love God. God loves you first. God gave his son. Love God. God, it's a mystery. How did this happen to you? How did you get so much joy? God. How did you find peace? Jesus Christ. How did you get delivered from sin? Christ, Jesus. You used to run around with this. Remember this morning we said there are many houses that people go to? The frat house, crack house, prison house, whore house, mansion house, sick house, sharga house, orphan house, pub house, gambling house, outhouse. Could have added white house too. A lot of houses, but you know what? You do not go to a house of ill repute. You go to whatever where you have to, but do not replace those houses with God's house. And be spiritual and find the Spirit of God fill you and satisfy you and build you up in the inner man. Guys, the first commandment and the great one is to love God with how much? All your heart. All your heart. I remember when I was dating my wife, I was so much in love with her. I was living in Finland and she was living here. I had a couple of photos and I was writing her letters. I couldn't believe how much I loved her. I couldn't believe how much I just wanted to not live any longer without her, you know, kind of thing. Sounds a little dramatic. Okay. But it was so beautiful. Could there be another woman in the picture? No. Guys, I'm in love with my wife. My wife is the only woman. My wife is the person. My wife is amazing. You know what it is? All your heart. All your heart. By the way, when you get married, you destroy all those pictures of all those other people. You get rid of all the memory. You get rid of the scrapbook. Anything you got, any residual effects or evidences of anybody else in your life, it's over. I'm 100% with this woman. And that's the way it is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Give me a shout out. Amen. Listen. Love is like that. Love is like that. Love with people is like that. And love with God is like that. That's the way it is. God wants us to love him with all our heart. And just do it. And you will find him. And he'll take care of you without condemning you, but loving you and building you up. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for these thoughts and this lesson and this night. We came out to get a word and use our week, this coming week and the holiday, as we are families, as some may be traveling, and be a peacemaker with your family, the unbelievers maybe you're going to be with, and just be filled with the Spirit and let God lead you and love your family and be wise and caring, and we'll reach people with love and patience and kindness and work in our families here and far away, however that is, and in our work today. This was a great day, and thank you for it because of love. And anyone here who doesn't have Jesus in your heart, then say to Jesus, I need you and I want you in my life. And then raise your hand, please. The ushers will give you material. Raise your hand. Say, yes, I would like Jesus. Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Anyone? And then another thing just came to my mind. And it's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.